Good evening, Lehigh Valley. Oh, isn't it wonderful? It's light out and it's going on 6 o'clock. Yes. This is Sally Hanlon. I'm your host this evening, and it wouldn't be a Women's History Month here at WDIY if I didn't invite our friends from Cedar Crest College to be a part of our program. It's amazing. We've been able to track what's been going on at Cedar Crest College through these programs the last 3 years. So if you haven't gathered, I have the president, Carmen Twilley Ambar, as a guest this evening. And I have Arlene Petola with her as well. And Arlene is working on the Women's Initiative Program. There are three components that you've heard us talk about of the 2008 address that Carmen gave when she first took on Cedar Crest College. And those three initiatives were embracing the college's identity as a women's college, women's leadership for the 21st century, and global connectivity. And we've been following the progress of Cedar Crest on these three strategic initiatives the past few years. Our emphasis tonight will be on the agility that these three strategic positions have given Cedar Crest College as they navigate the changing business or changing landscape of higher education. And when we were talking before the show, Carmen basically said it's like going through rapids right now, and hopefully it's in a canoe and not just a plank. But anyhow, let me spend a few minutes and reintroduce to you, our listeners, Carmen Twilley Ambar, who is, as I said, the president of Cedar Crest, and most of you have probably met her because she's everywhere in the Lehigh Valley. But she's been the president, as I said, since 2008. She's nationally respected for her record of accomplishments in higher education, and in particular, her commitment to women. And she has won a number of awards, including the Athena Award, as part of showing that she has that commitment. Carmen's background, as you may recall, is that she came to Cedar Crest College from Rutgers, where she was the youngest dean in the university's history. And prior to Rutgers, she served as assistant dean of the graduate education of Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University. And she's also an attorney. Carmen, welcome back.
I'm so excited to be here. I feel like this is, it makes me know that spring's coming if I'm here. So that's right. That's good.
Right. We get the better weather and you're here. And boy, do we have an agenda tonight to have you listen to. We also would like you to call in tonight. And so if you hear anything that you'd like to ask a question about, share a comment on, it's 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. And now let me do a brief introduction of Arlene to you. You may also have seen Arlene around. She's been around a few places in the valley besides Cedar Crest. Crayola was one. And
that's right.
She's been, was it down at Hershey?
Yep, Hershey Foods? Hershey
okay.
Foods.
But let me tell you about what she's doing at Cedar Crest right now. She's one of the founding women for the Cedar Crest Women's Leadership Institute, which you're going to hear a lot more about tonight. She's designed the Women's Leadership Institute Executive Seminar Series, as well as the Undergraduate Certificate in Leadership program to educate the new generations of women in leadership. She's among the president's cabinet. She's the graduate program committee. These are some of her involvements, the Middle States Accreditation Review Committee, and the Who's Who Committee. She created a strategic alliance with Vision 2020 to reinforce and amplify the national goals intended to increase women's voice in business and politics. And Arlene, isn't that the 100th anniversary of women?
Yes, coming up. 2020, you're right.
Women to vote.
Women
so,
to vote.
Yeah, 100 years. It doesn't seem that long, mm-hmm. but it's 100 years. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Arlene comes to us from an education that includes a bachelor's from the University of Massachusetts and Amherst and an MBA from Lehigh. So welcome to WDIY, Arlene.
Thank you, Sally. It's nice to see you.
And I know that you're going to be selling us a lot of information tonight about the Women's Leadership Institute. But before we get into that, let's talk about the changing higher education, and let's talk about this rapids that you're in. I mean, most businesses are in it, but I think you're in it at a different level. Carmen, what do you see happening, and how is it with your steering and navigating?
Right. Well, I think for the listeners, I think the way to think about what's happening in higher education, it's not just Cedar Crest. I think it's all institutions of higher education, that we are really experiencing the same type of transformation that healthcare experienced over the past 20 years. I think okay. It is just that dynamic. But I think that gives people an image of what it's like to be in higher ed, and that it's exciting, but it's also challenging, and you have to be strategic and forward thinking and be willing to take a little risk. But also try to be, you know, that sort of Wayne Gretzky, sort of quote of being ahead of where the puck is going to be. And I think that's what we really are doing. So for me, if you want to put the big changes kind of in a point by point basis, I think the first thing is that people are thinking about college in the context of a return on investment in a very clear, distinctive way. This is an investment. What is my return on it? You know, previous to this period of time, people sort of thought about college as a place to go spend time and think about, you know, how your life might be. It was kind of this reflective period that everybody wanted to see happen. Well, now parents, what is the return on the investment? What is the career at the end of this? This is not just time to go and think about your life. I think people are looking at the liberal arts in a very different way. They are saying, I don't want to go to college just for college's sake. Is there a particular practical career application to the liberal arts? And they are asking that question. I think it's certainly true that the number of high school graduates is declining across the nation. And in places like Pennsylvania, it is certainly true that we have a declining number of people graduating from high school every year. So for those of us who are focused on only traditional students, and you're tuition dependent, you depend on enrollment for your business model to work, the expanding market is adults. And it's expanding because adults are returning to college either to get another bachelor's degree, to get advanced degrees, to get certificates, because they are retooling for an industry that keep changing. So, you know, there's no longer this view that you can go and get your degree and you'll never have to go back for education again. That world is pretty much gone. And so really the expanding market is adults for colleges. I think the competition is very different. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, we didn't have for-profit institutions to compete with. Now we have for-profit colleges, and people see those folks advertise on TV all the time. They know what who those folks are. And of course, people are thinking about having their education delivered in a different way. Online education is a very important market. In the next few years, more than 50% of high school students would have at least had an online course before they even get out of high school. People are thinking about education from an accelerated standpoint. So the notion that semesters are 15 weeks and you go and sit in the classroom twice a week, that world is really gone. You know, at Cedar Crest for quite some time, we've had 7-week courses. We've had courses that meet over 3 weekends, 3 credits over a 3-weekend scenario. So the world has changed. And what we've done at Cedar Crest is to, I believe, try to respond effectively to those changes. And so over the course of these 3 years, as I've been talking to this audience, I think we've been demonstrating some of those changes, whether it's our launch of our new School of Adult and Graduate Education, whether it's our commitment to online education, our commitment to degrees in the liberal arts with a practical application. We've tried to hit every one of those markers of change, because those of us who don't do it, honestly, from my perspective, will not be here to tell the tale.
Yeah, it's incredible. I know that I've been reading more and more about people being concerned about, number one, the high cost that they're strapped with when they graduate after 4 years, because most families can't afford to pay the full ride. I mean, I was fortunate. My parents paid for me to go to college, and I didn't have any student loans. The other thing is, with the way the world changes so quickly, if I start and I'm in school for 4 years, am I really going to be effective when I get out? Because everything around me that I started to learn year one has changed by year four.
Absolutely. It's interesting. When I go and talk to parents at our admissions events, I say a couple of things to them. And I say, you know, my parents' generation stayed at the same company forever. My generation, we changed companies. This generation will change industries.
Yeah.
They will be in different industries. And that we have to prepare you for that change. And it's interesting to hear parents talk about it. You know, one of the things I jokingly say is I ask everybody, when was the iPhone created? You know, and people kind of guess. 2007 was when the first iPhone came out. Over the course of those 4 or 5 years, your time in college, a $1 trillion industry got created. And you're going to go in college, and the industry that you may be in may not even be created yet. By the time you graduate, it'll be there. So the change is rapid. And I think we are, you know, perfectly positioned at Cedar Crest to prepare people for that change, both adults and traditional age college students. And we have been working on it feverishly.
Yeah. I would like to just do an update on the three areas that we've discussed in the past, and then I'd like to talk about the Women's Leadership Initiatives with Arlene. So where are we at with SAGE? You mentioned the adult education program.
So I have to say that this has been just a tremendous growth point for Cedar Crest. So we launched a couple of years ago. We named a new dean of SAGE. We have launched fully online programs. So this year we have an online program in business. We will be launching in the fall a Master's in the Art of Teaching online, an RN to BSN online. We will be launching a new major, the Master's in Art Therapy. And of course, a variety of majors have grown in this time period, whether psychology or business or social work. We really have expanded in that SAGE market. And it has become 42% of sort of the revenue, for lack of a better term, of Cedar Crest. And for
and that's
many...
Like, that's 3 years.
Yeah. Well, we've had adult programs at Cedar Crest for quite some time.
But not that concentrated.
And I think, you know, when you think about Cedar Crest, the traditional women's college is absolutely who we are. But we're also SAGE. We're also adult programs. We're also graduate programs. And I think that really is kind of a new identity in some ways, or at least talking about it in this very public and forward way. And I think it's in keeping with our women's college identity because we still have about 85% of SAGE students are women. Women are the group that's returning to retool and new degrees. So it makes sense that we're still talking about women's leadership and women's education. We just want to make sure that adult women are absolutely there. And I think the Women's Leadership Institute is really about us saying we're taking care of women at every stage of their career, whether they're young, traditional, whether they're returning to college, whether they're executive women trying to retool, whether they're a person who can't get to campus but needs to stay in their home or apartment and go online. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to take care of women in whatever stage they are. And, of course, all the good men who want to think about Cedar Crest, there's a place for them there, too.
Correct. In fact, I have to laugh. Every time I call Cedar Crest, I get a male operator. It just sort of throws me. But it's great. It's great. Global studies. That's what we focused on last year. Yeah. How's that program coming?
You know, I have to say this may be in some ways the thing that's closest to my heart, partly because I know how much your view of the world is expanded when you have an opportunity to go abroad.
Absolutely.
And so for us, this was about, when we think about women's leadership, we think about it in the context of a global education. And so what we've done is we have expanded. Each year we've had a higher percentage of students studying abroad. Over this past spring break, we sent about 50 students abroad at Cedar Crest, which was just such an awesome thing to be
able to do.
And it's been through, we created a new office of global studies, so that wasn't there when I got there. We created that office, brought in someone to do that work. We've created partnerships with Seoul Women's University, with Linnaeus University in Sweden, with the University.
That's a new one.
Yeah, that's a new one, with the University of Sun Coast in Australia, with the University of Applied Science in Hamburg. We've had exchanges with students going to those places. We have living learning communities where students live in residence together, take a course together, and travel abroad together. So the Environmental House, the Women in the Arts House, and the Social Justice House all went off to Costa Rica working with teenage girls who were pregnant. And so that, to me, is about putting your footprint and your mission overseas. Mm-hmm. And then we had our nursing students go to London to study the healthcare system there, as we have changes in our own healthcare system. And then we had a few students go off to Italy, and that was just over spring break. And, you know, I'm proud of that because I think that that is about trying to take your mission and put your footprint of that mission in these interesting places around the world. And I have to say, the students came back from that trip just changed.
Yeah.
Transformed, right? Yeah. And when you think about our students, I think one thing that the listeners should know, because I believe that this is really a transformative opportunity for people who get connected to Cedar Crest. A lot of our students are first-generation college students. A lot of our students work 20 to 30 hours a week to put themselves through school. A lot of our students don't necessarily come from financial means. Mm-hmm. It is a big investment for them to come to Cedar Crest. And they are literally changing their career trajectory by being at this institution. And the opportunity for them to go study abroad is transformative. And so we've been committed to it. I think our faculty have led wonderful trips overseas. Our staff has been very supportive. And it's been a big part, I think, of how our community at Cedar Crest thinks about who we are now.
Well, and that's been a big growth just in a year, because I think when we talked last year, just Seoul was the only connection of a university abroad that you had,
yes.
And you were just starting to do some of the trips. So that's phenomenal.
Yeah, it's been great.
Yeah.
That's been a real sort of success. We have a long way to go, but a positive change.
Yeah. And the last thing that we had talked about, and you've mentioned it a few times, but the importance was the online studies that Cedar Crest has introduced through this whole strategic initiative. And it sounds to me like you've exploded that, you know, when you're going into the master's program
right.
and the nursing. It's
Yeah, I think that this year was our first fully online program in business. Next year we'll have the Master's in Art of Teaching, RSN to BSN, fully online. We will have double the courses online this summer that we had last summer. So we doubled those courses. So if people are looking for that opportunity, they should certainly go on our website and start looking at our summer course offerings. Because, you know, one of the things I think that's so important about Cedar Crest is that, you know, some of the listeners know that last year when I was here, we were named a top regional college by USA News and World Report and
right.
a top value. And this year we got that same award again.
Congratulations.
A top regional college and a top value. We are, I think people should think about us as this committed regional institution. We are about helping the Valley and the region and the people who live here change their world through education. And I'm really proud of what we do, because I think we really are an important player in the Valley in helping people think about academics, their career, and how they can move forward. And I think the Women's Leadership Institute is the next piece of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Arlene, what a perfect lead-in.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about the Women's Leadership Institute and what it is and where you're going. I mean, last year this time we were talking about Gloria Steinem
That's
coming.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's right.
That was the first sort of big hurrah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what's been happening before since
okay.
that?
Well, let's start with a bigger picture look at what's okay. happening with the current situation from business, government, and the home,
okay.
and women.
Right.
I have a couple statistics that may interest you, Sally, and the listeners. For the past three decades, women are outpacing men in both undergraduate and graduate degree completion. So that's the past three decades. It's right now about 60% of the graduates are women. However, fair share representation is not yet obvious. I'm talking about now in industry and professions. Only 14% are represented by women on boards. Only 4% of our Fortune 1000 have CEOs who are women. So we're seeing this degree completion over time, but we're not seeing the senior role achievement. So what we do know, though, and study after study, McKinsey and Catalyst tell us that organizations with gender equality and diversity against ethnicities and gender and age achieve superior outcomes, customer service, retention, productivity, profit, and innovation. And it just makes sense if you have all of one group together solving a problem versus a diverse set of a group, you get a better solution. Government, let's look at government for a minute. As of January 13, 20 women were senators of a 100-person body, 20 women. And in the House, 77 women out of a 435-person body. There are only 17 heads of state out of 195 countries. So now let's look at the home.
Okay, before we go to the home, we're going to have to go to a break. But let me say this, listeners. Please, listen to these statistics. Call in, share your thoughts at 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810, and we're now going to take a short break.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side in their 32nd season, presenting Ulysses Dreams, an exploration of origin and destiny, performed by the Touchstone Ensemble. This modern adaptation of the adventures of the hero Ulysses is performed in the form of a song cycle dealing with the characters of Ulysses and his relationship with various women in his life. April 13th to the 21st. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
And I've been taking care of business every day, taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. And we are talking about The Women's Leadership Initiative at Cedar Crest College. And as you know, this is Women's History Month. And Arlene Patola, who heads up the Women's Leadership Institute, has just been giving us some very interesting statistics, which, you know, my hair's starting to stand up on the back of my neck. Arlene, go ahead. You're
all
just
right.
Sharing about government
we
statistics.
We did business, government, and now we're in the home, Sally.
Okay.
So listen to this one. 40% of mothers... 41% of mothers are the primary breadwinners.
Okay.
40% of us are mothers. The rest of working women are co-breadwinners. You can term us co-breadwinners. But we are only earning right now, latest number as of this morning, 81 cents on the dollar of our gender equivalent. So we've got to really now understand how we can gain that earning power and solve this pay inequity. Because we're representing. Now, Warren Buffett, one of my favorite people in business, he's an investor.
He's just a mentor.
he's just a mentor of the whole business scene. Here was one of his quotes that I bet you're familiar with, but I adore. He said he was privileged to work during a period when it was only necessary to compete against half the population. So hopefully we're going to see some of our slow growth, and I have such optimism with the women we're equipping now with leadership, because the two roles, the two big skills employers are looking for are leadership and innovation. Because we are globally competing now, it's a global workplace, and we want to mobilize women to succeed there.
Okay. So the Women's Leadership Institute, we started off with a little bit about programs, but Carmen, you had said, you know, Cedar Crest is regional, and it's regional development, and the Women's Leadership Institute is more than programs. It's going to be the regional resource. I see it in Arlene as she's, you know, pumped up about and really getting into this position.
That's
but
exciting.
Is that indeed one of the visions that you see this being sort of the go-to?
It is. And I think, you know, what's interesting about this Women's Leadership Institute, this really came out of our strategic plan that we did in the first year that I was at Cedar Crest and sort of think about who we are. And one of the things we said is that we want to be, you know, this is kind of one of those sort of brainstorming sessions that you have when you're doing a strategic plan. You know, how do we want people to think about Cedar Crest when they think about women's education? We want them to think about us as the central repository for ideas, innovation, and research around women. I mean, we are the women's college in the region. We are top 10 women's college nationally. Forbes magazine named us that in 2009. So we're one of the top 10 women's colleges in the country right here in the Valley. We want people to think about us as that resource. So when we started thinking about the Women's Leadership Institute, we said, okay, there are a couple of prongs to it. Obviously, there's this undergraduate piece that is about sort of a certificate program in leadership, kind of an honors program for young women who want to think about leadership. We know we want to do this executive piece, this piece for managers, directors, executive women in corporate entities and in nonprofits who see themselves sort of moving up the rank but have some additional skill sets that they want to get. And then we want to think about this research component. If people want to think about how women are faring in Pennsylvania, how women are faring in the region, we want them to have a place they can call, and we want them to be thinking Cedar Crest, oh yeah, that's the women's college in the region, they should have that data and research. So it was in that sort of framework, and Arlene was right there helping us think about it, and that's how we started envisioning the Women's Leadership Institute. And so a few short years later, we are at those first two prongs we sort of gotten off the ground. Mm-hmm. And so the certificate for undergraduate women, we sort of got that. We're ready to go on that. We've already started the executive women's piece and just have some really exciting things to share about that.
Right.
And then our next steps are this research component. Mm-hmm. And I really do think that the Valley is ripe for this institute. This response that we've gotten has just been
phenomenal,
overwhelming.
Right?
I think almost a little surprising. You know, we thought it was a good idea, and we thought a few people would think we were right, but people have just embraced this in a way that I did not predict, and I am a big-time optimist.
Mm-hmm. It's very affirming.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the programs that you've done, because it blew my mind away to hear about the January program.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking, Sally. We've had four big initiatives this year. So over the last 18 months, we moved from our credo, our belief statement, vision, and mission, to really setting the groundwork for these four initiatives. The first one is to collaborate with our chamber Chamber of Commerce and United Way Women's Leadership Initiative. They're wonderful partners for Cedar Crest College. And we did a June 7th Women's Summit, a Greater Lehigh Valley. We sold out. We had 500 people. Gloria Steinem was our keynote. If you attended, you would have been thrilled mm-hmm. with the way she conducted herself.
She was wonderful.
And her message was unifying and just an advocate for women. And it was a beautiful message. Do you know, the breakout sessions were wonderful. We had a great response in the research I did. I asked respondents mm-hmm. to evaluate them. 92% of respondents said that they would want to come to the next summit. That's unheard of in marketing research. 92% of the people who filled out the survey.
Right.
So what we're doing this year is we're bringing in another just sought after speaker on women's role. Her name is Kathy Najimy. Now, Kathy Najimy is a women's advocate, but she's also very known for her role, Sister Mary Patrick, in Sister Act 1, and then she was in Hocus Pocus. So she's going to be an incredible lecturer. Already we're hearing just very heartfelt advocacy themes from her. I'm excited. We have four breakouts that are repeated. So when you come, you will see two of the four breakouts. We are bringing back emotional intelligence because it was sold out. I don't know if you saw that one. It was so hot in the room, yet it was like packed. So we're bringing emotional intelligence back. And by the way, we're featuring coffee and chocolate bars in between for all of our breaks. So it's a very pleasant.
Keep us going.
Yes. Yeah. And it will keep us going because the women are just clutching at each other in between these breakouts, opening address and feature saying, did you get that? Did you see that? Did you hear that? And we'll have plenty of networking. I would say that our site, if your listeners would like more information on it, Sally, can I give
sure,
the website?
Please.
All right. It's www.cedarcrest.edu/WLI, which is Women's Leadership Initiative. So that's the first big thing the Women's Leadership Institute is sort of helping.
And I'm assuming it's being held the same place that it was last year
on the college campus.
The
campus is
It was beautiful
just,
for that.
Yeah,
last
it's
year.
Going to be amazing.
And this is the beginning of June, just so our
June 7th.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll have that. The second big initiative we're doing this year is the Women's Leadership Institute seminar series using our Power of Women brand name. So we were fortunate enough to take in the Power of Women brand equity and an awesome membership list of important business people, people who felt just really had their voice heard out of the Power of Women. And we've sort of asked them, what do they want now that Cedar Crest has taken the Power of Women? And here's what they wanted. More educational tools, more skill sets. Mm-hmm. Now that we're on a campus, can you offer that? So what we did was we launched a series in 2013 of five seminars that are together sort of a collective credential for these women.
Nice.
You know how we're on the job, Sally, and we're building skill sets and we're learning and we're building our relationships and moving our career. It's sometimes difficult to stop for training on communication.
Absolutely.
Stop for training on leadership. Stop for training on planning. So we went through and we organized the components that we thought women in the Valley would really like. The first one was the power and influence of leadership development, sold out, blockbuster. Jo Miller is the CEO of Women's Leadership Coaching. She actually specializes in women's leadership. People left that seminar saying it was the best training they've ever gotten. It is an honor to have her on Cedar Crest campus in the Lehigh Valley. So we were delighted.
Nice.
Our next one is in April, and it's the power of whole brain communication. Now, have you ever been to a meeting or have spoken to somebody in the hallway and said, gosh, I wish I said more about it, or I wish I didn't say that, or I wish I came forth with a little more credibility? We're going to enter this seminar assessing our own communication style. So one of my colleagues, Elizabeth Ortiz, a communication expert, she graduated from the Syracuse Newhouse School of Communication, and she teaches in the communication department at Cedar Crest, is going to have journals at each place. And her first exercise is going to be a self-assessment on our own communication style. We're going to start completing our journals. And through that seminar, we're going to use effective communication tactics that we're learning to do that. So I think that's going to be outrageous. We have asked Dr. Robbie Ludwig to come and facilitate that. She's a commentator on CNN and Lou Dobbs, etc. She's a regular commentator on the Today Show.
And the date on that again is?
That is April 18th.
Okay.
April 18th.
One of the things I wanted to say about this, because I think Arlene is hitting on this in the perfect way for the listeners, that this is about, you know, getting a collective credential, piecing together all these things that you know you need in your job to sort of move up the ladder, but you just don't quite have the time to do it. And so we've taken 4-hour blocks. That's the time it takes. And come to Cedar Crest, 4 hours, get this opportunity to speak to an expert, test your own skills, have a cohort mentoring opportunity. Because remember, you're with other women in the room, various levels of experience. You're sitting at the table with them, talking back and forth, and sort of gaining your own skill set through learning from others while you're also listening to this speaker. And over the course of these 5 series, I really believe, I mean, this was the vision, that this will be over time a credential that corporate folks in the Valley will recognize, mm-hmm. that they will see that on the, oh, they went to the Cedar Crest Women's Leadership Institute. Oh, okay, yeah, this is a person who's serious about their advancement, and here are some skills that she absolutely has. Or the other way is manager, CEO saying, hey, she's sharp. Let's make sure she gets over to the Cedar Crest Women's Leadership Institute because we want to make sure she has the skill set when it's time to sit around the leadership table. That's how we envision this, and I believe that we are absolutely delivering on it. That first session was I got from the corporate folks who sent teams of people, and we had corporations around the Valley send 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of their folks to this together.
Fantastic.
And the emails mm-hmm. that we got back from mm-hmm. the senior management mm-hmm. saying this was, our folks are saying this is the best experience they've ever had, the best training they've ever had. I would say to the listeners, you know, you missed the first one, but you don't have to miss the next 4.
Right.
you can be there for communication, whole brain communication, and then we have 3 more after that. And if you put those pieces together, I believe fundamentally that you will see a change in your career trajectory because of the experience you've had at Cedar Crest.
That's right. And the tools will deepen our identity as leaders as we go through each pod. The next one is July 25th, okay. Sally, and that's the power of positive social change. And this seminar will invite participants to explore characteristics among women who catalyze social change. Among them is this uncanny ability to network, problem solve, and seek justice. So each of us have probably volunteered in our lives, right? Or even work at a community benefit mm-hmm. organization. How do we manage that cause? What is the passion behind it? Cedar Crest College has won year-on-year awards for our students' community service. It's been an incredible cultural foundation for Cedar Crest itself. We have Heather Arnett, the CEO of Women and Girls Foundation, coming to lead us through this. She is in Brazil right now filming something that's called Madam President, Why Not Us? U.S. Brazil has a woman president, and what she's doing is she is looking at all of the factors that make the Brazilian society work well with women, and she's already reported back on a couple to me that are going to be wonderful. She's running to Barcelona next week to edit the film, and then she's going to come and talk about how some countries get it right, how some societies get it right. But basically, she's going to talk about promoting social change and being an advocate for that, equalizing power between men and women. Suzanne Weaver, who is a wonderful colleague at Cedar Crest, a professor of social work, is going to anchor this program. She has led the Democracy Project, and she's also in a living learning community for global social justice. Just a wonderful person. I mean, I'm surrounded by amazing, the depth of research and understanding that these women have.
Yeah, the expertise you're bringing in.
The expertise is what's incredible.
Yeah, I think what we tried to do was, it was a combination. Can we bring in nationally recognized experts, some in the Valley, but some outside the Valley, and pair them up with the expertise that's here at Cedar Crest, mm-hmm. and to bring those programs to women in the Valley. And each seminar has a Cedar Crest faculty member with their own expertise, because we want to make sure that the folks who attend this have somebody to connect with it's over been a time, part of right? This. That's been a part of it. So mm-hmm. as they continue to be a part of our program, they want to be connected to key faculty members at Cedar Crest while they get these renowned speakers, some from the Valley, but many of them from outside the Valley. And that's been the sort of pairing. And
that's
I think
right.
it was the right decision.
Yes.
It was the right decision.
It's a good model. It's a wonderful model to offer that foundational academic piece and then somebody who's a practitioner.
Absolutely.
Do you mind if I go through the last two?
No, go ahead.
Are you sure? Okay.
Go ahead.
The next one, I cannot wait for all of them, and this one is something we all need, and it's the power of a 2-year and a 10-year plan. This is September 19th, all right? So this seminar will invite participants to design a path and possess a mission for their life work, and that includes career, home, whatever we're doing in our lives. We will look and plan forward to the accomplishments we're dreaming about today. So this whole structure of 2 and a 10-year plan will discuss change as an inevitable part of our life. We'll work with it and we'll work around it. So we're basically unlocking what is really important to you. That's basically what we're unlocking.
Allowing it to surface.
Yes, right. And allowing it to, right. And you'll be surprised mm-hmm. the insights that you get out of it. So we have Connie Challingsworth facilitating.
Connie's excellent.
She is amazing. She is a certified life coach. She is accredited by the International Coaching Federation. Her mantra is go confidently in the direction of your dreams. I mean, it couldn't be more well said mm-hmm. than that. Connie and I had salad at the Salad Works 2 weeks ago, talking a little bit about the content. She was teaching me things I didn't even know about in planning. So when she's a life coach.
Yeah.
So she's coming in and she's actually going to provide references that we don't see every day. So this is another example. Christine Lombardo, another wonderful professor at Cedar Crest, is a lawyer and an MBA. And she will bring powerful analytics to this discussion and an opening story about how she stays on course through her planning and has it all. So we're going to be alerted to having it all as we're going. And the last one we have planned for 2013 is an excellent one. It's the power of running your own business and high-performance teams. Now, think about the similarity of that entrepreneurship spirit going through both. You are starting a business. You want it to succeed. You're running a mid-size or a large corporate high-performance team. It's got to be functional. It's not bureaucratic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's on a journey of its own.
That's right.
It's got to succeed. It's got to perform these both. So we are bringing in a woman you may know, too, Elaine Pavinsky, who is the owner of Franklin Hill Vineyards.
Yes.
She has created an enterprise that continues to grow, including 4 retail outlet stores now, which mm-hmm. is just so happy. And she produces 50,000 gallons of wine a year. She asked me if she could feature a tasting during the seminar under the segment Embrace Your Product. And we said yes. So
actually, I'm signing up for all of these.
Right, right.
That one in particular. Her wine is very good.
And that's important because when you're about to do a journey with a company, either a high performance team or your own, you have to love that product every day.
Yeah, you do.
If you want to open a pizza shop, get ready for 8-10 hours a day flipping pizzas until you have a line out your door when
right.
you can hire someone.
Or you can pay yourself.
Or if you're in a corporation and it's your job to lead that team.
That's right.
You've got to be invested and committed
to that
work of that team.
Totally.
8 to 10, 11, 12, 15 hours a day.
And you have to know everything about
it. Right.
So Elaine is a top 50 businesswoman award winner in Pennsylvania. She is also an Athena award winner. And she has won many awards in her winemaking enterprise through the years. Here's who she is to me. I love what I do. Wonderful person.
Absolutely.
I love what I do. And that attitude alone, I think, begets success. Ibi Balog, one of my dear colleagues, is a CPA MBA faculty member of Cedar Crest College, is the business chair, and she will provide opening remarks and expert advice.
Absolutely. Ibi's wonderful.
Wonderful. And each person's going to leave with a software kit that has a template of business plans, financial projection models, marketing strategies, venture cap. I mean, so they'll be leaving now. When they sit down, they'll see the software. They'll be leaving with something they can use to build their future.
Okay, listeners, we're going to have to take another short break, but we'll come back and we'll give you those dates again, just so that you have them. But please stay tuned. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on NPR WDIY.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business.
WDIY is pleased to partner with Lafayette College and the Williams Center for the Arts, presenting the Dave Liebman Quartet Thursday, March 21st at 8 p.m. Liebman is featured with his own quartet of longtime collaborators, Vic Juris on guitar, Tony Marino on bass, and Marco Marchinko on drums, with special guest Randy Brecker. For information, 610-330-5009 or williamscenter.lafayette.edu.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Welcome back, listeners. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse, and we're talking with Carmen Twilley Amber, president of Cedar Crest College, and Arlene Patola, who is in charge of the Women's Leadership Institute. And Arlene was just going through a wonderful lineup of seminars that they have for women coming up. They had their first one in January. And give those dates again, Arlene.
Thanks a lot, Sally. I'll give you the dates, and it's also on our site, which okay. I'll give you again, too. The Power of Whole Brain Communication is April 18th.
Okay.
The Power of Positive Social Change is July 25th. The Power of a 2-Year Tenure Plan is September 19th. And the Power of Running Your Own Business and High Performance Teams is November 7th.
Okay, so that's the lineup, and you can go on the website and pick that up. And
right.
If you have any questions, you're more than welcome to call us at 610-758-8810, 610-758-8810. Wow, yes, go ahead.
Breaking news, we just booked Jo Miller again for January 2014. She was the leadership coach who specialized in women. Her January 30th, 2014 seminar is going to be amazing. It's cultivating your presence as a leader. She's going to be looking at the perception gap. How are we perceived and how do we think we come across? And she's going to give us essentials for closing that gap. She's going to ask us to redefine our leadership presence and work with that throughout our career. So that's going to be a wonderful January seminar. I know a lot of women are going to want to retake her.
Well, you've just sort of knocked out my script here because I was going to say, what's going on? You know, how are you going to top 2013? And you're already starting to do that with January.
Yeah, we're starting work on
that. You
know,
I think it's been interesting as we've gone through this process because I think that a lot of the folks in the Valley, both the corporate executives, various women in various areas of leadership, have been hungering, I think maybe the right word, for this kind of academic overlay on these kind of inspirational workshops, right? And so we've all been to moments where you see an inspirational speaker, and they're wonderful, they're great, but you kind of walk out and say,
how does it work?
How does that work? How do I apply that? What do I really do with that? Right, you know, you're inspired, you're motivated, you embrace what they said, but you don't quite know what to do after that.
And nor do you have a connection.
Right.
Because you're usually sitting next to somebody you'll never see again.
Right. And you've typically gone to a sort of a one and done type of experience.
Right.
And so you go away and that inspiration and motivation kind of fades over time. And all you remember is, I think that was a pretty good talk. You know. And so when we were having these conversations with women about that, we said, what do we have to offer at Cedar Crest that can solve that particular problem? And it was about the fact that we are this rigorous academic institution that can overlay our expertise around the academic approach to leadership, communication, planning, with the inspiration. And I truly believe that for the women who will take advantage of this, and I think each session is $175.
Yes, yes.
So you can do this whole, you know, series for $800.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not that big of an investment
right.
for what I think you know, Arlene just described.
Right, mm-hmm. For the outcomes.
For the outcomes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that people are going to walk away from this. I truly believe that employers are going to see the women who come back from these experiences
mm-hmm.
different,
mm-hmm.
changed, more valuable employees. And I think they'll feel more valuable mm-hmm. because they have some skills now to apply to their team,
That's right.
to their colleagues, to the business at hand.
That's
and,
right.
You know, it's been, I think, you know, as I've described this, you know, we are squarely within our mission and our wheelhouse.
Yes, you are.
When we do something mm-hmm. like this is mm-hmm. about who Cedar Cedarcrest is. And right. I think that's why we are receiving sort of the, so much praise for it, because we're doing this well because this is who we are.
You're in your right. core.
Yeah,
you're
we're in our core. We're in our core.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, Arlene, I know your statistics background and you like right. to keep track of yeah. things. Are you going to be following the people who attended these
yes.
workshops?
Yes, we are. In fact, we're talking about if we have enough interest from our participants, which I'm thinking we will, to have a sort of a reception at the end of the fifth one, invite all of the participants and the speakers for networking, and really sit down and talk about the enrichment piece of this. And I'll be listening with an ear for improvement, obviously, and I'll be listening for what we did right so we can continue that. So what we'd like to do is build this connection. And I'm looking for ways to keep women connected to the Women's Leadership Institute. Go on our site, look at what we're doing. Please be involved. Call us. Give me ideas. We're so appreciative of the community out there. In fact, the fourth initiative we're doing this year, Sally, is we're building sister alliances.
Okay.
So the Women's Leadership Institute is building an alliance with Vision 2020, which is a national goal out of organization out of Drexel.
Is that the one that we met when we
yes.
went to that chamber
yes.
meeting? Okay.
And their goals are to increase women in senior roles, achieve pay equity, educate employers about the value of policies to do with child care, educate for gender equality, and mobilize women to vote. So we have connected to them.
Terrific.
And
congratulations.
Our students will, thank you, Sally. Our students will have the opportunity to become junior delegates
okay.
If they do a social action project. The Girl Scouts of Eastern Pennsylvania, courage, confidence, character, amazing group of women who will be serving up the Take the Lead Awards. Carmen received one last year. It was such a wonderful United Way Women's Leadership Initiative, the Chamber. I'm on the board of the Women's Business Council, Executive Women International, a leadership forum which has 22 schools on the East Coast, including the Coast Guard and the U.S. Army, and we get together twice a year, and we talk about leadership development. We talk about that for our students. And I was just on the phone. I did a workshop with Seton Hall, who wanted to start a Women's Leadership Institute. And we went to Rutgers last year to sort of play school from them to see how they've been thriving. So the other thing we do is connect with all of anybody in the community who would like to talk about leadership and women.
That's fantastic. I think we need to get you plugged into some women who are maybe thinking about politics.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You yeah. know, because that's really where yes, we need to have a lot of other things, but I think when you talk about social change or
absolutely.
Cultural
yes.
change, and it's so hard as a woman to go up against those odds and the campaigning and
right.
all that kind of stuff that was required.
Right. And I think, you know, we are much less likely than men to raise our hand for politics.
Mm-hmm.
I think women have to be asked like 7 times
mm-hmm. yeah.
in order to go into politics. We're much more likely to believe we're not qualified.
Correct.
Even though we may have the same education and skill set that a man may have.
Mm-hmm.
And what I really love about this sort of piece around politics is that, you know, for us, we don't have to be partisan. We're happy for Republican women. We're happy for Democratic women. We're happy for women to pursue all of these fields. And I think for those of us in education, you know, this is not about a particular perspective.
Mm-hmm.
This is about helping women pursue their passions, but also to make those statistics that Arlene quoted at the beginning not mm-hmm. be so true. Right.
Right? and that's exactly why I quoted them at the
yeah.
beginning. So you can see that our work is trying little by little, humbly,
mm-hmm. yeah,
to move
steps.
That meter forward a little bit.
Yeah. Now, Arlene, you were talking about leaning forward.
Yes.
I think all of us probably heard about it last week
yes.
as it sort of hit the stands as
yeah.
it was published. You're halfway through the book.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on what's being communicated about women and the ability to sort of push forward with that?
It is a very interesting read. I'm halfway through, as you said, in a night.
That's a fast read.
Yeah. Sheryl Sandberg is the COO, the Chief Operating Officer at Facebook, and she believes just from a summary point of view, Sally, that women's voices are still not heard equally in business and government. And she's going to tell women to solve that. She's expressing this notion, and I love the physicality of it, to lean in and accept assignments. Don't stop until you have to stop. Leaning out connotes, I don't want to do that. I don't want to step up.
I'm afraid.
Right. Whereas men who we love taking these leadership positions have their hand up and keep their hand up. In fact, they move their body up for the position, and women are usually waiting to be tapped on the shoulder. So I think the beauty of her book is, hey, let's look at our behavior. Let's look at it individually and authentically and see where we want to go. She's a Fortune Top 50 Most Powerful Women in Business and Time Magazine 100 Most Influential Women in the World. It's worth a read. Whether you agree with her ideas or not, I think the conversation is wonderful to have.
Well, it's true that, you know, women in business generally have smaller businesses than men, that mm-hmm. they don't reach beyond that. And I've noticed as I've been in business the last several years that women that I deal with tend to feel that they need to be an expert before mm-hmm. they'll take
yes.
on a job
right.
where, as you said, their male counterpart won't have any idea how to go about it, but they'll get the job and they'll figure it out,
right.
where we think we have to know it in advance.
Right.
So
that's a key point.
It's interesting. I think some of this comes back to why I feel like women's colleges are still relevant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's about tapping into some of these things that happen to women and encouraging them not to act in that way, to encourage them to raise your hand,
yes.
to practice leadership.
Yes.
And that's some of the things that we do at Cedar Crest. What I thought was interesting about, and I haven't, you know, I'm sort of in the early stages of her book, but I thought it was just very interesting, given the place that she's at right now, that she still questioned whether to negotiate her salary,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's
so
right.
here she is
mm-hmm.
going for the position of COO
mm-hmm.
of Facebook,
mm-hmm.
right? And she still asks
right.
the question, should I negotiate
right.
my salary?
For a while.
And it's interesting because there's a book out there called Why Women Don't Negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
And even at the first job, right, typically, the first starting salary, the difference between a young man's salary and a young woman's salary is $2,500,
mm-hmm.
that negotiation that
mm-hmm.
he did
mm-hmm.
that the young woman didn't
mm-hmm.
do. That translates into $1 million over your career, right? If you just stayed there in terms
right.
of, you know, your benefits and all those things that would accrue
That's
to you.
Right.
So here she is at that stage of her career, and she's still asking,
mm-hmm.
should I negotiate? It goes to show you that
mm-hmm.
the socialization and peace that happens to young women, we're still kind of fighting
mm-hmm.
against it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to help young women lean forward. I agree that I don't agree with everything in her book.
Right.
But I think it is certainly worth a read, and it's worth the conversation.
It's worth that conversation. Only 7% of women negotiate on that first job offer. And we should. We'll get it. We'll
right.
get it.
Yeah. They're expecting
it. You'll be surprised.
They're expecting the negotiation.
Yes, they expect
but
it.
But young men do it.
Mm-hmm.
And young women
mm-hmm.
don't.
Mm-hmm.
And we miss out on that additional few dollars
right.
that we should have gotten.
Yeah, it's incredible. And talk about negotiation, whether it's a car sale, whether it's a job, you know, we tend to just, okay, that's it. That's what.
Right.
And we move on. But I guess I'm going to have to read this book.
Yeah.
It's enlightening.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, what'll be interesting to me, too, as this discussion goes further is, you know, this issue of balancing work and family, which I think is one of the things where I think people are sort of, you know, they sort of switch a little bit around the book because, you know, leaning forward, you know, for some people sort of suggests that it's women's fault maybe that,
mm-hmm.
that they're not getting these
mm-hmm.
various things. And I think that's where people might have some issues
mm-hmm.
with the book.
Mm-hmm.
But I still believe it's worth a read, and we can agree to disagree on some of those things. But I still think it's important for us to recognize the behavior. We don't have to assign blame.
Right.
We don't have
right.
to assign whose fault
right.
it is. We just have to change it.
Right.
Right.
Move forward.
And I think anecdotally, young men 35 and under who have been raised by professional women are right there for their wives. I've seen it anecdotally and qualitatively that they're sharing in the picking up, the dropping off at school, the laundry. They're not embarrassed to cook and clean. So I see this beautiful little generational change happening before my eyes.
Right.
Yeah. So I think we're making. But you brought up Betty Friedan earlier, too. What an interesting.
It's 50th anniversary this year of her book.
Is it 50?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
She had, she surveyed her fellow Smith College classmates for their 15th reunion and asked them how happy they were. And she came up with the fact that there was a problem with no name. Do you remember this being talked about? I remember this. Mm-hmm. And she found that there were so many unhappy housewives who culturally should have been delighted having a husband and children, which was culturally correct. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is
that's what
right,
we were
was the
told
63,
we wanted,
right? Yeah. And this is should have been fulfilling. So she actually defined the gap between a happy housewife and an unhappy careerist. That's what was her pendulum. And right in the middle was she pulled a marketing brilliant coup. She named it the feminine mystique. Mm-hmm. And therefore we're talking about it. And she said women were stuck at the bottom of the Maslow triangle in physiological needs. They never got to self-actualization in that role. So I think that Betty Friedan's book opened our eyes, and now we're continuing that conversation.
Yeah, thank goodness she wrote that book.
When I read
an excerpt of a study done after that called Strange Stirrings, it was incredible to me the things that I recognized from my own growing up, and had that door not been opened.
Right.
Yes.
Wow, it's very...
Yeah. But I think it's interesting to me that I can remember feeling this way when I first started being a part of women's colleges, and I still think it's true. When we bring these incredibly accomplished women to Cedar Crest, and we bring many of them through our doors, probably the first question that students always ask is, how do you balance family and work?
Right.
It is the first question,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I still think we are meandering our way through this discussion, and the CEO of Facebook is still there. Some of you may recall that there was a sort of an uproar when Anne Marie Slaughter, who was an undersecretary for Hillary Clinton,
mm-hmm.
And a colleague of mine at Princeton, wrote her big article, I guess it was in the past year, mm-hmm. Where she left the State Department to go home. She had a 16-year-old son, and she was sort of, you know, working through some issues there. And she talked about the challenge mm-hmm. of having that career. And all of us know the legendary travel that Hillary Clinton just finished in her role. And so imagine her undersecretaries and trying to manage family. And the response that Anne Marie got was sort of this recognition by all these women of the challenge of trying to balance all of these. So you have Anne Marie's view out there with Sandberg's view about leaning forward mm-hmm. and raise your hand for the assignment. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's mm-hmm. the pendulum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think for those of us who sit at places like Cedar Crest, we are right there having that conversation every day. That's what the Women's Leadership Institute is about. It's about helping women find their way through mm-hmm. these kind of challenging discussions. That's what our global connectivity is about. That's what our work at this college is about. It's about finding our way through this environment that I think women face in a little bit different way. And it's exciting, it's challenging, but I think it's the right space to be in.
Yeah. Well, we only have a couple minutes. This time has just flown by. Thank you both very much. It was great. Is there anything that you would like to leave sort of in parting so that our listeners remember? Maybe the website again, if you wouldn't mind, and anything else that's coming up at Cedar Crest?
Oh, yeah, sure. I'll give the website one more time, Sally.
Sure.
It's www.cedarcrest.edu/WLI, which stands for Women's Leadership Institute.
Okay. And Carmen, are there any parting remarks?
Well, I would just say that you know, checking out that next seminar, Whole Brain Communication, I think is probably the most important thing to do, because I think that really will set you on the right track in connecting with Cedar Crest. But I would say go on our website. You know, we have the Leadership Summit that's coming up on June 7th with Kathy Najimy. She's great. And, you know, I have to say that I've been having a blast at this college being president, and it is a mission that we are passionate about, but I also think is important to the Valley. And whether you're a corporate woman, whether you are a traditional age student who wants to go to college, a transfer student at one of our wonderful community colleges, but any person who sees academic education as a way to transform their lives, I think that Cedar Crest is the place for you. So we're just pleased to have this opportunity. Thank you for having us here each year during Women's History Month. We appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. And don't forget, listeners, that although it's Women's History Month and we focus on women, Cedar Crest has wonderful programs for guys as well.
That's right.
So, you know, everybody can get out there and get an education and get online and do whatever Cedar Crest has to offer. Thank you both very much for
being
a part of this.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you.
We appreciate
it.
Nice to see you as well.